This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What's going on? It is Metal Shop right now. I have someone who I've interviewed a couple times. I've had him on, you know, during the pandemic. I think I had him on before the pandemic. And now it's a momentous occasion because the new album Ghost at the Gallows is available now. We're talking about Nate Garrett from Spirited Drift. Welcome back to Metal Shop, man.
Hello. Thanks again for having me.
Absolutely. So you stayed busy the last few years, man. You know, we talked early in the pandemic and I was having a lot of these Zoom interviews. Fortunately, I've been able to have a lot of interviews in person and whatnot, but you know, it's nice to go back and see you back in your space, down in Austin, right?
Yeah. Just outside of Austin.
So man, like we talked and you were talking about like writing material and working and, you know, you were comfortable just, you know, making art and in creating this music, but now that's come to fruition and you have this full album. You know, how many freaking songs did you write during the pandemic?
Somewhere between 20 and 30. And that's like songs that got fully demoed and everything.
Yeah.
And so three of those got used for our 2021 EP, Forge Your Future.
Yeah.
And two of them ended up on our little weird compilation type EP last year. And then, yeah, whittled a bunch down, threw a bunch away, and eventually forced myself to stop writing new songs and just focus on the best eight songs that I had.
Yep.
And then tried to make those as great as I possibly could.
Is this your debut full length on Century Media?
Well, the last record was like a joint release between 20 Bucks Spin in North America and Century Media worldwide.
Okay.
So this is our first full length that is like 100%.
Yeah.
Century Media. Yeah.
That's cool, man. So, you know, congratulations on the record, man. Like what, how long did you, you know, spend crafting this and where did you guys record at?
Well, I wrote the first song in March of 2020.
Okay. When we were talking,
dude, like the it's track four on the album. It's called These Two Hands. And
okay,
I wrote that the second week of March 2020. And yeah, the writing process was from March 2020 until September 2022. It's the longest I've ever spent on the writing process of an album. And we recorded drums in September 2022 in Chicago, and then we brought the drums back to Texas and finished the rest of the album. And that was like a little window we had between like a 5-week tour with Crowbar and a 3 or 4-week tour with COC. We had just like a month long window in there, said, all right, I guess this is when we're going to have to record. So that's what we did.
So you get some magic from both those bands, right? You're sandwiched between magic, between Crowbar and COC.
Crowbar is one. I love COC. I respect them a lot, but Crowbar is one of my favorite bands of all time. Mm-hmm. And they always have been since the first time I heard them. And Kirk and I actually are like pretty good buds at this point. I talked to him on the phone for like 45 minutes the other night. I just sent him a text just to ask. I felt weird even texting him. I didn't want to bother him, you know? I mean, Crowbar has been on tour for like 2 years straight.
Yep.
And he was home for a minute and I felt kind of bad texting him. And this dude just called me up and talked my ear off for like 45 minutes. It's cool when that happens. He's like a huge inspiration to me and just a down to earth guy, as it turns out.
That's awesome, man. So you had the 4 weeks, or is that what you said? 4 weeks?
We did 5 weeks with Crowbar and then had, I want to say like a month and a half off, and then did 3 or 4 weeks with COC. We flew our guitar player Tom out 2 days before the COC tour, and he recorded his lead guitar parts in 1 day, and then we practiced, and then we went on back on tour. So that last year was like a super busy year, the back half especially.
Have you noticed anything different about being back on the road after the pause?
Yeah, it's totally different, man. It's screwed up. I mean, it's just, it's not like specific to touring really. It's just the state of the world now. People can't barely afford to live. So obviously that's going to affect every industry, and most touring bands are barely making money as it is. And now I would say that's even more so. We did pretty well, honestly, on both of those tours last year. And for whatever reason, this year seems to be very strange for us touring wise. And I think it's just because of what's trendy right now in heavy music. I don't think that the type of music that we're making is really benefiting from a lot of the flavor of the week type trends that are going on right now. So it's
knuckle
a strange
dragging
time.
Death metal.
Yeah. It's a strange time for bands that are writing meaningful songs and interesting stuff.
Right. Yeah. So you kind of just have to stay the course.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, the true music will speak for itself, and it will, you know, you'll be able to look back on it and, you know, it might not be the flavor of the week this week, but you know, if you just keep going with it, and the music is the thing that, and the real people will come out and support you. And
yeah, well, there was a time when people didn't consider Lemmy to be a legend. There was a time when people didn't consider Dio to be a legend, and they were relegated to playing like small clubs and stuff. And I consider those to be low points in human history. And I think we might be in one of those right now too, but I'm not concerned, man. I like writing songs, and I like what I like, and I'm going to do what I do, and that's it. And if other people want to come check it out, hell yeah. And if they don't, it's not going to affect me at all. All of my heroes, they, you know, Kirk Winstein being another one, like Crowbar has done Crowbar from 1988 until now, and they don't care what else is going on. He just does his thing.
I mean, there was a time, and I didn't go to this show, but there's photos and evidence that, you know, it was during the lean years of Iron Maiden when Bruce Dickinson left, but they did play a really small rock club here in Seattle. It was Iron Maiden they had Eddie on stage. It was at El Corazon in Seattle.
I played there.
Definitely not big. It's not big for Iron Maiden, but
look at them now. They just played in front of 100,000 people in France, and we were there watching them.
Yeah.
You know,
how do you even, okay, so you come from the underground of playing, you know, to, you know, a small audience, very, you know, maybe even on the floor with some kids, right? So you're on stage in front of seas of people that you can't even fathom how many people are out there. Do you have a different approach? Do you have to make everything bigger? like the way that you approach, like you're on stage?
That's a great question. Yeah. I mean, the easy answer would be like, no, man, I do the same, give the same show every night.
Yeah.
I do bring, I have the same amount of, every show has the same amount of importance to me.
Yeah.
But if you're playing Oklahoma City on a Wednesday night and there's 30 people there, you got to like feel the energy of the room.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that would mainly be more like between songs, stage banter and stuff. You don't want to be like screaming like a pro wrestler at the top of your lungs
yeah.
when there's like 30 people there, right? You give them the same quality of performance.
Yeah.
A good example that comes to mind, Sturgill Simpson, country dude. I saw him twice in 1 week back in 2015.
Okay.
And the first show was Tucson, Arizona. He played the Rialto. Several thousand people there going completely ballistic. And he matched that. Nice. It was a really intense, like energetic, big show energy wise. And I saw him 2 days later in Flagstaff playing to like 150 people.
Okay.
Totally different energy. The crowd was a little more subdued. Didn't mean that they were having a worse time than the people in Tucson, but he just matched the energy. And that show was a lot more intimate and personal and subdued. And both shows were equally awesome. And I remember both of them equally. And they mean just as much. Both shows mean just as much to me now.
Yeah.
And so I try to keep that in mind. Like I want every one of our performances and songs and albums and everything to be real.
Yeah.
And I'm going to feel differently about playing in front of 15 people in Oklahoma City than I am about 10,000 people mm-hmm. at a festival. And I'm going to give you what I'm feeling. And it's never going to be like some ungrateful crybaby crap.
Yeah.
Because I grew up with like the Black Flag, kill everyone now mode.
Yep.
thing, and I'll always believe in that. So it's never going to be that, but the shows are different depending on the energy of the crowd, for sure.
Speaking of, you know, the energy of the crowd, you're wearing a Pantera t-shirt. I have yet to see their new, you know, Pantera shows with Zakk Wylde and you know, I've seen some video clips. It looks awesome. Have you had the chance to see that yet?
No, I have conflicting feelings about it. I'm nobody. I'm in no position to really voice an opinion on that. What's important is that the estates and the legacies of the Abbott brothers are satisfied.
Yeah.
And I think the Abbott brothers' estates are like a big factor as to why it's happening. So I think that's all good. So I'm in no position to comment on it. I would go see it. Our drummer, Mike Fury, his really good buddy is a guy named Mike De Leon.
Okay.
Who played guitar in Phil's solo band.
Okay.
And his band Flesh Hoarder is going to open some of those shows here regionally.
That's awesome.
So we might go check it out. Like if that's a situation, I'll go see it. You know, the soul of that band to me was Dime and Vinny just as much as it was Phil and Rex. So I don't know quite how to feel about it. I'm not against it. I will go check it out if it's easy and free.
Yeah.
So
that's how I feel, man, is like, I'm not gonna, you know, I didn't mean to give you a gotcha question or anything or put
no,
you
no, no.
But for me personally, it's like, is it Pantera? I don't necessarily think so. Is it going to be fun to see live? It'll probably be fun to see live. I'll see it, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I would
Metallica. I'll be at Metallica anyway, so.
I would have felt better if they had...
If they called like, it Cowboys from Hell or...
A couple words.
Play,
yeah, or, a couple yeah. words around the Pantera thing, but we both know how the music industry works, and the people that got to make money, the managers and the agents, they know that if you put two words around that name, it's not going to be worth as much. And I can't blame anybody for that. We all got to pay the bills, man. Especially
property,
especially now, you IP. Know, but I don't know. I got a lot of respect for everybody involved. So, and I am in no position to comment on any of that. I'll go see it if it's convenient for me, you know.
If tomorrow something crazy happens, you pass away, but from on your final wish, you can write, I want this person to continue on with Spirit Adrift. What would be the one person that you would give that right to?
You know what's really weird is I've had this conversation with my wife. I cannot believe that you're asking, dude. She's not going to believe it either. I stopped doing this a couple albums ago because I'm a lot less anxious now, and I think I'm a little more satisfied with what I've accomplished. But I was working on an album, maybe Divided by Darkness, and I was like, man, I really like this stuff. I really hope that nothing goes wrong here. And I told her, if something happens and I die, this album needs to get made. So please get a hold of Mike from Yob and make him do it.
Yes. Oh, that man, that would be a crazy, you know, that would actually be a pretty awesome super group there. Nate.
Yeah, he's a great friend of mine too, and I've never told him that, but he might hear this, so he was probably going to be a little embarrassed or flattered or something. It's true.
Oh man, I was thinking it would be dude from Primus, you know, like
nah, I'm just man.
Oh man, right on. Okay, so you were mentioning how you saw Sturgill Simpson. You know, that's obviously not a heavy metal. I'm not, you know, breaking ground by saying metal musicians listen to things outside of metal, but there's some things you like to listen to outside of, you know, the Panteras and the Solitude Eternus and stuff like that. What's some stuff you like that we might
find? Yeah, I mean, I grew up before the internet, so I listened to a lot of FM rock radio, and that was my first love, was bands like Creedence and Lynyrd Skynyrd. Jimi Hendrix was the guy that made me want to start playing guitar. And then, yeah, I got into old school country just because of the upbringing that I had. I also really like, I'll never forget in seventh grade, this scary ass kid named Colin. He's the scariest person I've ever known. He might be a serial killer at this point, but he came to me at lunch in seventh grade and was like, dude, you got to check this band or group out. They're called 3-6 Mafia. Get it? 666. And I was like, well, that's evil. That's cool. And so I like, you know, I like Dirty South gangster rap and old school, you know, Ghetto Boys and NWA and Dre and Ice Cube and that sort of stuff. And I mean, I got Tangerine Dream right here behind me. Okay. I love them.
Yeah.
I don't really care much about genre. To me, it's all about feeling. It's not about thinking. It's not about labeling. It's not about fitting into this group or that group or like intellectually analyzing anything. I do intellectually analyze some of the music I listen to, but it's mostly about how it makes me feel. So that's it. If it makes me feel something, I'll listen to it. And if it doesn't, I'll turn it off and never listen to it again.
Fair enough, man. Well, this new album by Spirit Adrift will probably make you feel something. It will lift your soul, it'll make you feel epic. Ghost of the Gallows is out now. You can pick it up, physical copy. You can listen to it anywhere. Just check out this band and go see them if they're in your town. It's been a pleasure to chat with you again and check up. It's so awesome to see you, you know, out there prospering and playing with your probably the bands that you had on your posters of as a kid. You know, you're sharing, you're breaking bread with the metal gods, man.
I got to meet Steve Harris.
Wow.
At Hellfest, and just tell him, hey, thanks, man. You're a big reason why I do this. So it's going to take some special opportunities to get me excited about anything.
Yep. You hit the, if it's all done today, you hung out with Steve Harris.
I'll be all right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.